Hello, everybody. Just a very quick one about Instagram. If you're on it, Meta, the parent company, is reducing the number of political posts visible to users on their feed. This is a real thing, not a hoax. So go to your Instagram profile, tap the three horizontal lines in the top right corner to open the settings tab, scroll down to what you see, click on content preferences, open political content, and turn on don't limit political content. That's an option. Otherwise, you won't see almost anything we post because we are deemed political. Please do that now, or you won't even see the posts about our shows, our fun things. So if you want to see Guilty Feminist content and know when we're coming to a place near you or releasing a new podcast, do it now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to this show ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Welcome back to part two of The Guilty Feminist. So plug in and get ready for the fun.
Hello, Canberra. Are you ready for a little bit more Guilty Feminist? Then put your hands together and welcome your hosts for this evening, Deborah Frances White and Nikki Britton. I don't mind telling you, we compare audiences. I mean, you're going, oh, yes, I thought she was good. Oh, I liked that. Oh, yes, did you like that as much as last time, etc.? Have you seen it before? We also compare you to other audiences around the country. That's true, isn't it, Nikki?
Absolutely.
But what was that? We're better than Perth. That's for us to judge. That's really like me going, I'm better than Victoria Wood. You need to know that. That joke's dated now because some of you don't know who Victoria Wood is. That's a sad day. But we do, especially if we tour around the country. We talk about you and we compare you. I will tell you this. I left the sparkly cape in the hotel when we were in Perth and didn't want to be a diva and demand we go back for sequins. And Perth was a little bit disappointed by that. There were people who were going, I was so looking forward to seeing it. And so I had to sort of do a bit of an Emperor's New Clothes, just imagine it. So already, Canberra, you've got more for your money than Perth's got, in as much as I remembered the sequins. But in Canberra, Nikki, one audience member brought me biscuits.
In Canberra?
Yeah, in the shape of my face. Someone called Mama Jetlag bought me, I don't think it's a real name, bought me, I think it's a handle. Biscuits in the shape of my face, in the shape of Cal Wilson, and in the shape of Jonathan Van Ness, which might seem an odd trio, but Cal Wilson was meant to be on the tour, but because of she's been in contact with someone with COVID, she's had to self-isolate. But I could have just brought the biscuit out and animated it.
Do the voice.
Yeah, and done the voice. She sends her love to you, though. And if you could just shout out, we love you, Cal, we'll play that bit of audio. Yeah, she'll love that. Okay. Actually, I should record it because then I can just send it to her. That's a good idea, isn't it? Okay. All right, hold on. I'm just going to video it, actually. All right. If you could say, we love you, Cal, please come to Canberra next time or something. I don't know. Make it up. Ad lib it. Anthony, what should we say? You'll have a good idea. What do you think? He's learning. Okay. All right. Oh, this is good because you've got the house lights up. Okay.
There's a lot of yellow out there, isn't there?
Yeah. Could you, maybe we could do a wave. Could we do a wave? No, like a wave, I don't think you're meant to call it a Mexican wave anymore. Okay, I don't think that's inclusive language. So we're going to start on the right. So you'll all have to time it in here, here, and here at the same time. And then we're going to wave along and around. And I'm going to take this around. Yeah.
Should I do that?
I'll do that. Direct it, Nikki, yeah. That would be helpful.
Okay.
And then so got everyone this. Do the wave. And then at the end, say, Guilty Feminist Canberra, the Guilty Feminist Canberra. That can go on Instagram.
Perfect.
And then... Can I do Instagram
two,
this way around?
Two videos, two clips.
And then we're going to do one for Cal. Yeah. Okay, ready? I've never done this before anywhere in the world. I've never thought of it before. I just love this venue so much, and you seem really up for it. Okay, ready? And maybe should I do it this way for Instagram?
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like more like it's going to be better this way. Okay, ready?
Yep. Guilt.
I feel that was a little tentative.
Okay, all right.
It's feminism, gang. Like, I feel like we show that to the patriarchy and they're going to be like, we can take him. There's no authority to that. We needed a stage cue.
Should I be standing? Is that going to help?
Yeah, okay. I feel like also people weren't...
Yeah.
What about...
That's on me. I'm so sorry.
I feel like that, the slogan wasn't quite right either. What about Canberra loves the guilty feminist? What about something like that? Okay,
good.
Ready?
Good.
Okay, and you say when. 3, 2, 1. Now that I can show the patriarchy. They're going to be like, fuck. Okay, now we're going to do the wave again, and then we're going to say, we love you, Cal. Okay, ready? Okay, 3, 2, 1.
We love you, Cal.
Okay, she's going to love that. She's going to really love that, because she was sad not to come.
Got my steps up.
Yeah, I hope you've got your Fitbit on. Now listen, today our guest is talking about leadership.
Yes.
Nikki,
mm.
This is your first time doing The Girls Feminist?
It is, yeah, this is my very first
time. This is
Nikki's
debut. Yes.
Thanks, Canva.
Do you see yourself as a leader?
I think I've just led that wave pretty flawlessly.
That's true, actually. If that wave were like a state government role, you would have smashed it.
Yeah.
You'd definitely be re-elected.
Absolutely.
Were you, as a kid, were you one of the leaders as a child? You know there are leaders as a child and there are followers. And if you were, in fact, a leader, were you a leader for other children to do good things or bad things?
Okay, I'm glad.
Because there's two kinds of child leaders and we all know what they are.
I had the best of intentions.
I see.
But I think I did lead down the wrong path. Never to harm, just to create a little mischief.
Can we have an example?
Yes. Well, I didn't realise it was illegal to...
Oh, wow. Any sentence that begins, I didn't realise it was illegal to...
I didn't realise it was illegal to fashion a number plate out of cardboard during school hours when you're supposed to be doing biology and make the number plate Venga, as in the Venga bus. And then,
what's the Venga bus?
Yeah, that's the right response. The Venga bus is coming and everybody's jumping. New York to San Francisco? At every sacred disco?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
A very popular song in the 90s, late 90s.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And a friend of mine had just got her P's,
And that's P plates, and that means...
That's P plates.
Internationally, that means you've got your license, but you're still like a new driver, so you have to wear P plates so everyone knows you're not very good.
Yeah, take it easy around me.
Provisional.
Provisional.
Yeah. It's like baby on board or something. It's like people go, oh, okay, fair enough.
Yeah, we used to get very excited to get our L plates, our learner's permit, and our P plates, our provisional permit, and then, of course, to lose the V plates, which was your virginity. They were the... That was the... Holy Trinity of plates in our later high school years.
It's funny you say that because today I went to the National Museum of Australia in Canberra.
And my V plates are there.
What was that? No. There was a
they held on to them.
There was a Holden in the foyer. no, there is. An old 1950s Holden. It's a great museum. You should go if you haven't been. There's an incredible exhibition there at the moment, actually. There's two amazing ones. One is about spies and code cracking. And the other one, and some of it's about like what women's contribution, because, you know, women did stuff, but no one ever noticed.
We're good with puzzles. And they don't
But
give
that's
us
why
that.
We're good spies, because no one notices. There were loads of women as spies in the Second World War because people would just think... There was an amazing Indian spy called Noor, and she was in Paris, and she was a terrible spy. Like, she thought, oh, I'll, you know, to be a spy, I need to wear a blonde wig. It's like... she just drew attention to herself, big sunglasses. She had the sort of idea of what a spy was. And at one point, she's got this code-cracking equipment, and she's in Nazi-occupied Paris... And she can't get this machine, I think, I don't know, out of a cab and up the stairs. And a Nazi officer helps her up the stairs with this thing. But she's just sort of going, oh la la, mon Dieu, quel dommage, you know. And yeah. But because if that was a man, he would have been like, what are you holding? What are you carrying?
Yes.
But she was just like, ooh.
Isn't that incredible? Her greatest disguise was being a woman.
Exactly.
Because we would never think that they could pull this off.
Exactly.
That's so
And so
clever.
There's some leadership in that exhibition from women. And also there's an incredible Indigenous exhibition that is honestly one of the best things I've ever seen. It's so meditative. It's called Connection, and it's about Indigenous stories, paintings, and it's really immersive. It's all of these huge screens around you and sounds, and it's art and photography, and it's incredible. But I'm going back tomorrow because I need to spend more time there. I want to go there and meditate and
Okay.
just feel connected to the earth. It's genuinely incredible. Oh. And the leadership on the walls, it's sort of all about how the earth owns us, we don't own the earth. And it's such a different way of thinking about leadership, I think.
Yeah.
That I was just like, oh, I just felt so like drawn to it like a magnet. Like everything that I think in a capitalist society that we treasure, hold important, hold in esteem, aspire to is so soulless really and so misguided and so self-destructive that I was just looking at it going, this is the kind of leadership I need in my life, and it's just so much more organic. But I might have disrupted your incredibly funny Wenger story.
It feels
gone down a cul-de-sac.
Feels a bit flippant now, I'll be honest.
Well, how do you think I felt coming on after Hangham's poetry about how frivolity was not my life's purpose. It's like, I am a comedian. This is, now I've got to do lols about that.
Yeah.
So you have the Wenger, you make a plate that says Wenger.
Wenger, yeah. And we put about 14 of us in a family tarago. And,
oh, wow.
And I think that was my idea. I think I sort of rallied
and then
the troops for that.
You went driving with Wenger, the Wenger number plate.
Yeah, we thought it was a lot of fun to fail at a hill start, and so we we would find the steepest hills we could, and
in the Wengermobile.
Yeah, ruin the clutch,
roll backwards and giggle as we did a handbrake stop. So, look.
Were you driving even though you weren't the one with the licence?
No, I wasn't driving, no.
You were just encouraging the driver
to... Yes, I was the cheer squad.
To lose her licence as soon as she had it.
We didn't realise the stakes were that high, to be honest. So we just thought, well.
Did you get nicked?
Absolutely not, no.
So how did you get in trouble for it then?
We didn't. This is the problem.
This
is why I'm in this job, because
I see.
There was no accountability. I led people astray and I continue to do so.
Did you reach out for any leadership roles? Were you head girl or Australia class captain?
I was actually a vice captain at high school.
Were you?
And I was voted.
Did vice mean runner up or did vice mean like drugs? Like vice squad, drug captain.
Oh, yeah, no. Vice was runner-up. It would have been...
Vice is like assistant captain, isn't it?
Yeah. So the captain, she ran a great campaign. She can't be flawed.
Do you remember her name? You always remember their name.
Alicia, yeah, Alicia.
Yeah, yeah. So Alicia beat you.
She did. She beat me because she ran a campaign where she said there would be free tampons in every bathroom at an all-girls school. And
feminist.
Yep.
Did she
and we
deliver?
Never got those tampons.
She didn't deliver.
We never got them. But, God, she was impassioned. And we thought, good on you, mate. Never mind.
I mean, that's politics at its finest, isn't it?
This is the perfect town to talk about it.
Yeah. Promise. And, by that point, you've got the position. You know, you're probably only going to be that for 1 year anyway. Move on. Is she in politics now?
She's not. No, she's not. Not sure what she's doing.
Alicia, please write in.
I think... She's in Byron Bay. I'm not sure what she's doing.
I doubt she's
might be leading a cult by this point.
I was going to say, that's probably all you're going to be running in Byron Bay. It's not a place for leadership. And that is a lie. I'm sure there's millions of listeners in Byron Bay
freaking out,
shouting at the podcast, going, I'm a leader of this. I think it's probably quite a busy community. Byron Bay, you're doing brilliantly. That was a cheap joke at the expense of what is quite a shoeless area. It's not big on shoes. Listen, don't tell me you're leading the way on shoes because you're not.
Yeah,
but do you know someone who is leading the way on shoes? Because she told us in her I'm a Feminist butt. That's a good, what a good segue.
That was a perfect segue. Yeah, I was going to finish the vice captain story, but now...
Oh, no.
You've got to know when to exit because that was flawless.
No, I didn't realise that wasn't the end.
I was just going to say that I got the popular vote.
Yeah.
It was like a Hillary Clinton situation.
Was it?
And then the teachers came down and went, we can't have her. We can't.
No!
We cannot have her.
Is that the case?
It's absolutely true. And so I co-vice captained with a wonderful woman called Alicia... who is doing extraordinary things for human rights. She's doing extraordinary things in the UK for human rights.
That's two Alicias.
Yeah, two Alicias. Also.
Like Heathers.
Like Heathers, yes.
So the two Alicias.
Yeah, two Alicias and Alicia. I'm not sure I should be using the whole name. It's just dawning on me. I'm not sure how we're going to edit around that.
Yeah,
but
we can bleep them out if you need.
I mean...
I'm not bleeping out Alicia because it's too good.
Yeah.
I'll bleep out the surnames.
So they would sort of run things and be the student representatives.
And then what did you do?
Pretty much wafted at the end for a few lols. Dressed up as a tampon or something, probably. You know? Just... I was a leader of the people, but...
Despite the will of the people,
you were
left out in the cold because you were not seen as a conservative enough candidate.
That's exactly right.
Wow. Well, listen, somebody who's going to give us some advice.
Beautiful segue.
Segue queen. Listen, if I'm not leader of anything else, I'm leader of the segue. Our guest today is the inaugural director of the Global Institute of Women's Leadership at the Australian National University. While she studied psychology at ANU at both an undergraduate and PhD level, she has spent the last 17 years in the UK. She is a professor of social and organisational psychology and is involved in a number of research projects with a current focus on women's career choices. Michelle uncovered the phenomenon of the glass cliff, which we will discuss tonight. The New York Times named the glass cliff as one of the top 100 ideas that shaped 2008. Please welcome to the stage with enormous ACT guilty feminist welcoming woohooing noises, Professor Michelle Ryan.
Welcome.
Oh, Michelle, it's so wonderful to have you. Now, you've recently moved back to Australia after 18 years in the UK to take on a director role at the Global Institute for Women's Leadership. Could you explain what that institute is and why you've moved?
Yeah, well, it was sort of my dream job, really. So when Julia Gillard sets up an institute and puts out a little call for someone to be a director, you come. So yeah. that was really it.
Well, but if you can get the job.
Yeah, well, there was a little bit of that as well. But yeah, it's an institute at the Australian National University. We do research, we yes. do advocacy, and then we work with organisations to just really try and address issues of workplace gender inequality.
So you're, like, I'm at the coalface in these organisations trying to figure out what's going wrong when we have a gender split that's fairly equal lower down in the food chain, but then whenever it comes to a director position or a partnership position or the board, it's very heavily male. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've got women's leadership in the name of the institute, and that's a big focus of what we look at. So that might be organisations, it might be in politics, it might be in volunteer organisations, grassroots kinds of leaderships. But we don't just focus on all those leaders at the top. We look at all of the structures and the societal processes that lead up to that underrepresentation.
Do you ever think the whole thing's fucked, we should just burn it to the ground? Because I sometimes think, I don't know what the goal is anymore. Like, are we trying to get more female billionaires into space? Like, what? I look at it and go, why am I trying to get up this ladder? This ladder is broken and it only leads to the world being underwater. Like, how do you reconcile when things seem so, it seems like the goals of the establishment are so fucked that trying to kind of get women, and the only women that can get, like in Britain, the only women that can get up the greasy pole are the ones that will serve the interests of the posh white men. So I'm not going, Boris Johnson's finally gone, let's hope Priti Patel gets in. Yeah, now it is panto season. Fair enough. I would think I would be like, great, that's what we need is a woman of colour in a position of leadership. But I'm like, I feel like if her value set is exactly like Boris's, except she seems to enjoy it more.
Yeah, I mean, if there was an option to burn it all down, I think maybe starting again would be the way to go. But
so why isn't that an option?
Well, we could try. But I think you're exactly right. It isn't just about numbers. So it isn't just saying let's shove as many women into leadership positions as we can, because that's not necessarily going to change anything. We have to change those systems. We have to change what good leadership is like. We've got to change what success and ambition looks like. And we've got to make sure that the things that we do, you know, getting moving women ahead, aren't just benefiting the privileged few women that are there anyway.
Mm. This, yes. So, I mean, similar to what you were saying, we're like, often women are expected to lean in and, you know, step into the shoes of the role that men have played for a long time. Can you talk to us about the flaws of that phenomenon and why now there's a push to not fix women, to not make women in the image of men, and what we can do and how it's going to change?
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty empowering kind of message, right? This lean in. Sheryl Sandberg from Facebook was telling us all this inspirational sort of thing. Get on a rocket ship, lean in, be ambitious. And while there's a certain empowerment to that, it's not particularly helpful. Lean into what? You know, lean into this neoliberalism, lean into these structures, be a bit more like a man, because in the end, that's what that advice is sort of saying. Mm. Be ambitious, be stronger, be more forceful. And I don't think we need more of that. And I think also what's really interesting is that that seems to put the onus on women. The reason you're not leaders is because you're not trying hard enough. You're not making sacrifices. You're not taking risks. And by putting the onus on women, it's putting the blame on women as well. It's your fault. You've got to do better. And instead, we've got to flip it over. We've got to give women something to lean towards. We've got to, as I said before, fix those structures and ask, well, why aren't women leaning in? Why aren't they taking risks? Why aren't they making sacrifices? And fix those things instead of fixing women.
But also, I feel like we are, and then we get told off for the way we lean in, or we've lent in too forcefully, or we've not lent in as well as a man's lent in. Or
sometimes if I lean in, you get a lot of that. And then
if you're listening at home, listeners, that's cleavage.
Too much cleavage on the lean in. Then you're told all sorts of other
then
things.
Then it's like, oh, she came in here pointing a cleavage at me.
Oh, we've got to call HR again.
Yeah, and she can't be vice captain. Not
with those tits.
No. But that's a great example. You know, you were like a clearly like a young woman with personality, or girl with personality at school, and it was like, she's not quite what we had in mind when we said a leader. Even though the girls voted you in, the administration went, we were looking more for somebody who might end up in Canberra. And that's not saying you couldn't.
I ended up here now, didn't I, tonight?
You proved them wrong. You got Canberra in the end. Wrong.
Where are the Alicias now?
If any of the Alicias are listening or in the audience tonight, is anyone called Alicia? Just shout out. No Alicias in. No. They've got no sense of humour.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Listen to this Acast show ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
It is our 7th birthday show on the 1st of October. Guess where we're going to be? The legendary Hammersmith Apollo. That's right, we are finally live at the Apollo. Confirmed guests include Rachel Paris, Grace Petrie, Sindhu V, Kima Bob, Desiree Birch, Susan McComa, and secret surprise musical guest that we're not allowed to talk about yet. So get your tickets now. We'll be at Ulster Hall in Belfast on the 14th of October, and you can get tickets for all of these shows at guiltyfeminist.com. To support the podcast and get ad-free episodes, go to patreon.com/guiltyfeminist. And now, back to the podcast.
I find, because I do stuff in, you know, and I know you do as well in business, and I find that I used to do a lot, especially before I did the Guilty Feminist, I still do some, in diversity and inclusion, and I find that when men are given training, it's presented like Top Gun. You're the best of the best. We're going to make you better. When women are offered training, it's presented as a remedial option. It's like, oh, do you know what you need, Cheryl? You need confidence. Just if you were just a little bit more confident. You're very good. Very good at your job. Just maybe a little bit more confident. We're going to send you off on a little confidence course. Do you know what the number one horrendous thing for your confidence is? Someone coming up and going, do you know what you don't have any of? It's so counterintuitive. You can't send people on a confidence course. You can send them on an OT course. You send them on a confidence course, you have drained the confidence. They suddenly go, oh, am I not confident? And you drained the only confidence they had out of them. Then you send them off to like some terrible regional hotel, 3-star hotel with other people who aren't very confident, and give them an afternoon on a wet Wednesday, and then with some peppy workshop leader, and they go, oh, see, now if you use these confidence tips, you'll be almost as good as a man. and then send them back. It's the worst thing you can do. But when men, I've had men who've gone on the same course tell me, I know that they see me as partner material because they've invested in me. They sent me off on a course. And a woman's gone to me, same course, has gone, I know they don't think I'm not very good because they've had to send me on a course.
I mean, absolutely. It reminds me of the time that I first went up for promotion as an academic. I went to my head of department and I said, I think I meet all the criteria. You know, maybe might you consider me for promotion? He looked through my CV and he said, yeah, you tick every single box, but I think you should wait a year. And I said, a year? Why should I wait another year? And he said, because, Michelle, you're my happiest little worker, and if you didn't get promoted, you might be sad. Sad. I mean, angry is what I was. Went straight over his head to the dean, got promoted. So.
That's... I've lost my questions now, but if you're listening at home, I did drop my clipboard over my shoulder and in a fury. Sorry, thank you.
It was dramatic.
I know, it was dramatic, Nikki, but then do you see how it... Yeah, it's out. Now I've got to claw it back.
this is...
Can I ask? I don't really need it. I don't really need it. I just suddenly felt naked. can I ask? You're a woman of colour of mixed race heritage. Is that how I would say it?
Yep.
Good. I'll take that back then and say it with more confidence. I'll go on a course. you're a woman of mixed race heritage. Are you also looking at intersections of marginalisation / access to power, and analysing how people are treated, how women are treated who have some other form of, for want of a better word, diversity?
Yeah, absolutely. The diversity and inclusion space, when we look at gender, it tends to look at white women. So when we look at, yeah, I mean, when we look at the gender pay gap, we really look at this idea, but the gender pay gap's much bigger for women of colour. When we look at issues of discrimination and when we look at representation, you know, those sorts of women are almost non-existent. And when we think of those Wednesday wet afternoon sort of courses, they're absolutely designed for women. So when we talk about confidence training, so black women are just like, I don't need confidence training. Everyone thinks I'm too confident. I'm too assertive, those sorts of things. So I think absolutely we have to look at the numbers and then we have to look at what we're doing in terms of our interventions and what we're doing, that we're not just lifting white women, privileged women up, that we're lifting all women up, and actually that we're lifting the women that are most affected by discrimination.
But also the impositions of what, you know, when a black woman says, I'm told I'm too confident, it's like, the expectation of the person saying that, basically saying, how dare you have the audacity to be so confident? And how dare you have the audacity to tell a black woman she's too confident? Fuck off. Sorry, I'm being quite sweary tonight. I'm swearier in Canberra than I was in Perth. I don't know why that's happening. I wasn't swearing in Adelaide. I wasn't swearing in Perth. I don't know if is it something to do with...
Canberra brings it out of you, I think.
I feel it's bringing it out in me.
Brings it out of a lot of us. Yeah,
all those years of Scott Morrison, a lot of the fucks were repressed. Yeah. Now, tell us some insights. Like, what is it that we need to know? So there are women... Just give us a cheer in the audience if you've got a leadership role in your working life. Okay. Give us a cheer if you do lead the energy in the room, or you lead, you know, thoughts, you take people under your wing, you mentor people, but you wouldn't describe yourself as having a leadership role. Why wouldn't you describe yourself as having a leadership role? You've got a leadership role. Like, I think, again, like a lot of women don't know that they've got a leadership role, even though they do. So there's women here who need your help. Give us a cheer if you'd like a leadership role. Give us a cheer if you've been trying to get promoted. Give us a cheer if you think that some of the reason you're not being promoted is perhaps sexism. Okay, we need insight.
Well, I mean, I think it's interesting about who we need to help. Like, do we need to help the women in this room, or do we need to help the people that are promoting them, that are putting them forwards and those sorts of things?
Okay, talk directly and only to Anthony. Anthony's here to learn. That's why he's sitting in the front row. Do you promote people, Anthony? And how much have you looked at your unconscious bias in terms of gender? Recently you've looked at it? Okay. Do you suspect you've got any unconscious bias? You have, yeah. Yeah, that's the right answer, Anthony. Because we all have. I still think I want to know, even though it's not my responsibility, those insights help me because I can communicate them.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think we need to rethink what leadership looks like from the outset. So instead of saying trying to teach women to be better leaders, we have to say, well, what does good leadership look like? Does it look like Scott Morrison? You know, does it look like Donald Trump? Does it look like Boris Johnson?
No, it doesn't.
And I think when we have these role models that are there, we get sucked into this belief that this is what leadership looks like, whereas leadership can be compassionate or it can be quieter. Yes. And it's the same with ambition as well. We often promote people or put people in the pipeline that show this fiery ambition, but you can have a quiet ambition. Ambition doesn't have to be about more money or more success. It could also be about helping more, doing more, being the best that you can. So I think actually rethinking a lot of these things and these structures and rethinking what our organisations look like. And as you said, do we need more women in CEO positions earning 100 times more than the people at the bottom? I don't think we need that. I think we need to rethink what leadership looks like at all different levels and be making sure that there's diversity in all of those.
So if I handed you a magic wand, the feminist magic wand, which I sometimes give to a guest, don't always do this. Occasionally, I think this guest needs a magic wand. So this is the feminist magic wand, which I will pass to you. There you go. That was poor mind work on both our parts. So if we're going to believe in the magic wand, let me use my improv skills. Believe in the magic wand. Thank you. Now you have it. What do you do with it?
Well, maybe I take us down to the beginning where we started this conversation, light a match and use the wand to burn it all down and start again.
Wow.
So day one, it's raised to the ground. Day one, what kind of world do we want to live in? What kind of leadership do we want?
Well, I think it's a world where those that are loudest and front and centre don't get pushed forwards. And I think that's part of the problem. I think men tend to take up space and oxygen and, I mean, sometimes literal space like this, you know. Sometimes it's their voice in the room, it's the sound, it's the all of sound. Those sorts of things.
I mean, the talking, but also the sneezing, you know? Like, what happens to a man at a certain age where he thinks it's okay to take up that much audio space? Like, what's... You've lost your face, Graham. You've sneezed your face off. We didn't have to go through that with you. Absolutely.
And then I think it's so it's not only that they take the space, but then we reward it, right? We reward that behaviour. We value it. We pay it. We do it. So I think just coming back from that, so not rewarding the loudest voice in the room, the biggest space taker, all of those sorts of things, and starting about, you know, we think we live in a meritocracy, you know, Australia's this great meritocracy, work hard, get force. We don't. We reward noise, we, you know, all of those things. And if we actually went back to rewarding merit, you know, that's where we need to start.
I am increasingly, as I said, I went to the museum today to, the National Museum today to look at the Indigenous exhibition. And I recently did some work with a Peruvian shaman in Spain. And I'm increasingly of the opinion that Indigenous people around the world have something fundamental about the relationship to the earth that they don't feel like they're better than the earth. And just living, the earth is a bit of an evil. We live on this. We build on top of it. We're smarter than the earth. Our technology can eat the planet for breakfast. It's just the connection to the earth and what the earth has to teach us. And we need to let the earth lead us. And at the moment, we're leading the earth. And I think until we figure that out, we will sort nothing else out. I really do think that. And the more I can learn respectfully in a way that where I'm, you know, invited into the space and act like a guest from Indigenous people, the more I want to do that. I really think we need to start letting Indigenous people lead. I went to an event recently in London with a South American Indigenous leader on climate change, talking about the Amazon, and I was just like, yeah, we need to start letting Indigenous people lead this conversation and let Mother Earth, let the Earth start to lead us as well, because I rather think, while we think we're cleverer than the Earth, and while we think we've got it all sussed, you know, and it's not just men, you know, it is women as well.
Absolutely.
Like, I feel like we're rushing around at a million miles an hour, and I think if we could get back to that place, there are brave, brilliant, clever men with quiet and insight and leadership. And there are brave, brilliant, clever women and non-binary people who have brilliant leadership. But we will have to be a little more quiet to listen and hear it.
Isn't it interesting that when you say, like, returning to Mother Earth and listening to Mother Earth, and it's the mother, it's the feminine energy. And I think so often the traits that have traditionally been feminine are ones that we don't see in leadership. They're, you know, compassion and sensitivity and kindness and nurturing, which in good leadership we absolutely should be seeing. But like you say, we respond to noise and power and eros energy, and that's, it's exactly what's, you know, screwing the planet and screwing ourselves in the process. And we just got to, I think we really all just have to go back to the earth, get reborn from the womb of planet Earth, and like burn the, I mean, don't burn the womb, like just burn everything before and then just be rebirthed.
I can see now
let
why,
that bit out,
why,
I reckon.
Yeah, yeah, I can see now why you weren't allowed to be school captain. Yeah. Now, that was, in a retrospect, a great call. Yeah. I just... No, I'm kidding.
The campaign was as succinct as that point that I was trying to make.
It was incredible. It was a travesty, and you were robbed.
Thank you.
We need to finish up soon, but could you please tell us about the concept of the glass cliff? Because this is your concept, and I did not know you'd invented this, because it's something that I've talked, you know, heard about a lot and read about a lot, talked about a lot. You're the inventor of the glass cliff. Please explain.
Please explain. So we all know the glass ceiling, of course, right? So it can't get beyond a certain point. We were really interested in what sort of leadership positions women take on when they do take on leadership positions. Mm-hmm. And our research showed that it's often under sort of crisis situations, so that these leadership positions are risky and precarious. So up high, but teetering on the edge. So a classic example that we often give is Theresa May in Brexit. So complete shit show, who wants that leadership job? All the men run away, leaving Theresa May to take it on.
Now, I believe the exact words were, you touched it last. She voted Remain, and listen, I'm no fan of Theresa May, but it is true that all the men that had caused Brexit went, I don't want first dibs, and Boris Johnson waited until, while resisting her every attempt to make it work, and then came in and went, I'm going to get it done. And then just him doing it made him seem, in the eyes of some people, as if he'd done something amazing, because he'd stopped her doing exactly the same thing, only he did it in a slightly worse way than she intended to do it. Is that the glass cliff?
Yeah, so that's part of the glass cliff, and what follows it is often this saviour effect as well. So, oh, look, you stuffed that up, didn't you? I'll come in and fix it up afterwards. And what's really interesting about the glass cliff is on the face of it, it looks like it's positive, right? We're putting more women into leadership positions. And this is exactly what we were talking about before. It's not just about increasing numbers of women in leadership positions, but what sort of positions they're in. So if you push women into these positions that they're you know, risky and precarious, you potentially reinforce the idea that women aren't very good at leadership. Look at Theresa May. She was terrible, you know. You know, this is what people might say. We won't try that again. So it reinforces these stereotypes, but under the illusion that we're giving women a go.
Right, yes. So when we give women an opportunity to be CEO or to be leader of a country, it's often when it's obvious that the only thing that can happen next is terrible.
Yeah.
And so then we've given them a go, but at a really difficult time. So watch out for that. Watch out for the glass cliff. And if you're offered an opportunity, check it's not a glass cliff opportunity. Or point out that it's a glass cliff opportunity. But I think some women take those roles where they're, well, at least in my Wikipedia page it's going to say I was Prime Minister.
I mean, absolutely that. If we tell women not to take on any glass cliff positions, then we might not have very many women in leadership positions. So a big part of it is, you know, the glass is meaning that it's not very obvious. Make it obvious.
So if you're offered a Deputy Prime Minister, take it. It's okay. Yep. That's what I'm saying.
It'll probably be co-Deputy Prime Minister. I would get the popular vote, but...
Yeah, Alicia will help, don't worry.
Alicia will help, yeah.
Alicia will be there.
Thanks, Alicia.
Listen, we've got to finish up, but is there anything you came to say you didn't get to say?
No, I don't think so. I got to talk about my shoes, so...
Is there any way... please keep us posted on the shoe front. Is there any way we can help or get involved in what you're doing or read about it?
Yeah, so we're doing a lot of work with JUL, Global Institute of Women's Leadership. So check out our website. You can sign up. There's newsletters. You can donate. Lots of things going on.
Okay, you can donate, Anthony. That's good to know. So say the website again, Global...
Global Institute for Women's Leadership.
Global Institute for Women's Leadership.
Yeah.
So sign up and read all about it, and you will be better informed and better armed when you need to talk about your pay rise or your leadership role with what's going on in the world. So get involved. And a big round of applause for Michelle Ryan. And Nikki Britton. Canberra, you've been a wonderful audience. We can pay you favourably. If you would like to come out again tomorrow night, we would absolutely love to have you. If not, could you please WhatsApp someone and tell them to come? You tell all your mates at work tomorrow how great it was. The show will be fully, 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 wholly different. Have you enjoyed it? Then also, please tell your friends in Brisbane, Sydney, Melbourne, Wellington, Christchurch, and Auckland. Listen to the podcast at guiltyfeminist.com. If you've never heard it before, there's millions of episodes. They're all free. Or buy my book called The Guilty Feminist, which is not free. Buy it. Buy it with money, Anthony. don't forget to sign up to the Amnesty Feminist Society. And Canberra, thank you so much for being such an incredibly lovely audience. Are you ready for Grace Petrie herself to close this show? Are you mostly here to see Grace? I think they're mostly here to see you, Grace. I feel like I'm a bit of a disappointment, I'll be honest, at this show. I just need confidence training. Yeah, thank you. Listen, if anybody, Anthony, could you take me away on a wet Wednesday afternoon to a 3-star hotel out of town? That's now sounds like a proposition. Jess is going, that's fine. We've been married a while. he'll probably just try and talk to me about confidence. Yeah, he won't try anything on. Is that what you're saying? There's a moment between them now. Put your hands together and make incredible woohooing noises for the wonderful Grace Petrie.
So, okay, well, listen. Like I said, this is my second time in Australia. The last time I was in Australia was February 2020. I know. can you guess why I left? I was on tour here and... thank you very much, yeah. Likewise, I mean, I don't know if you were there or you're just giving me confidence now. And it was amazing, I was having a great time and I did this show in Sydney and it was like absolutely amazing and like couldn't believe that there were actually people there and because it was my first time in Australia and I didn't have any audience here and then my buddy that was on tour with me, we sort of cheers, clinked our beers together and we were like, it just couldn't get any better than this, could it? 12 hours later, here comes this virus. And the rest of the tour was cancelled and we had to get an emergency flight home. And then that same body of mine got locked down in my house for 6 months. Yeah. So all of which is to say, it's fucking lovely to be back in Australia. There's a very long time now where I couldn't imagine even actually being able to gig again. So it feels absolutely wonderful to be back here. And in the time that we have been in here tonight, you'll look very nervous. It's nothing that bad. It's just it started pissing it down outside. It's raining very hard. So I thought I would sing you this song, which I wrote about the pandemic and about the promise of better days to come. And I like to think of it as a political song as well. I know that there's some amazing people doing amazing activism in here tonight. And so, you know, for, you know, all the Roe v. Wade stuff and for everything, this is a song about better days ahead. It's about weathering the storm. It's called Storm to Weather. And it's got a line in it where I'm gonna sing. There'll be a bit where I'm going to sing a line. I'm going to point at you and you're going to repeat that line. I've got absolute faith in you, Canberra. It goes like this.
Batten down. She's love, the night is rolling in. The clouds are getting darker and you're scared of what they bring. And you are searching the horizon for some signs, some little spark of morning that will chase away the dark. Heavy was the winter, love, and what's become of spring? This demon came and got its claws in every little thing. Now there are miles and glass and distance that are keeping me apart from the beating of your strong and steady heart. But if it sinks, my darling, then just close your eyes and think of when you'll be in my arms again. There's a storm to weather, the thunder's coming near, louder than ever, and we don't know where to steer. And though we can't be together, no matter what, my dear, I will love you forever, and we will dance again next year. I will love you forever, and we will dance again next year. This world is unfamiliar now, it's turned us all around. A sailboat in a hurricane and nothing's bolted down. And whichever way you turn, there is no sanctuary in sight. No path to some safe harbour in the night. But I am sailing right beside you, I am just out of arm's length. Willing you remember, you are wrought of iron strength. And I am hanging my tomorrows on the bones of yesterday. All I can do to make you through today. And when my heart sinks, my darling, then I fill my lungs and I think of when you'll be in my arms again. There's a storm to weather, the thunder's coming near, louder than ever, and we don't know where to steer. And though we can't be together, no matter what, my dear, I will love you forever, and we will dance again next year. I will love you forever, and we will dance again next year. So best foot first, and hold on fast, and do your worst. This too will pass. When it does, I'll be there to fill your glass. Here's your line, Deborah, because there's a storm here to weather. More confidence. There's a storm here to weather. You got it. There's a storm here to weather. There's a storm here to weather. There's a storm here to weather. The thunder's coming near, louder than ever, and we don't know where to steer. Though we can't be together, no matter what, my dear, I will love again next year. I will love you forever, and we will dance again next year. I will love you forever, and we will dance again next year. I will love you forever, and we will dance again.
Thank you very much.
You have been listening to The Guilty Feminist with me, Deborah Frances White, guest co-host Nikki Britton, and my very special guests, Professor Michelle Ryan and Hangama Abidala, with music from Grace Petrie. The Guilty Feminist theme tune was composed by Mark Hodge and produced by Nick Sheldon. The producer for The Spontaneity Shop was Tom Zielinski. Thanks to Bjorn, Jody, and Bone Presents, and everyone at the Canberra Theatre Centre, as well as all of you for listening. For more information about this and other episodes, visit guiltyfeminist.com.
Getting no guitar up here. You might have to busk for a minute.
Okay. I wasn't going to do... Oh, no. Is it ready?
We're back.
What was that heckle? How many? I don't know exactly, but there are tickets left for tomorrow. Because this one was put on sale first and the second one was put on sale later. So, yeah, please come. There's only what? There's only 5 tickets left? No, I don't think so. I do need confidence training. No, I think there are more tickets left. Are there more tickets left, Michael? There are more tickets left. There's not just 5 left. Thank you.
Well, what an intro.
Grace Petrie, everybody! I'm sorry, but it was the heckler.
No, I know.
I did a great intro and then there was some banter.
You did. I'm sorry for trolling you on stage.
The Guilty Feminist is provided exclusively from Acast. Find it wherever you get your podcasts.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do. Start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Hey, Prime members. You can listen to this show ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.